Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 15. And starting in verse 20, the Word of God says, and this is talking, of course, of the prodigal son, "And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." That means that God embraced his free volition. "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe." Notice he didn't answer him when he said that. "But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." This was something that belonged to him because he was his son. And the father gave it to him because he was his son. And then in verse 31, the Word of God says, "And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You are ever with me, and all that I have is yours." Now, turn with me, please, to John chapter 1. And starting in verse 12, the Word of God says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." One of the things that we believers have to practice, consciously practice, is that we believe on the name of God. Now, this is not talking to just unbelievers, although this has an appropriate soul-winning message to it, but it is beyond that also. That is not the only application there. This is also talking to us believers. How do we experience the benefit of our sonship? How do we experience what it means to be sons of God? Because every one of us that is born again, we are called the sons of God. So how do we experience what it means to be a son of God? And it says right here, "to them that believe on his name." You see, only when I trust God and his character will I start to understand and will I start to experience what it means to be the son of God. The prodigal here started to experience it. He received a robe. That means he was covered. And he was covered in the glory and the authority of God. He was covered in the majesty of God. There was something about the believer that other people do not have but recognize. They say there's something unique and special about this person. And even though the believer may be very quiet, if he's a spirit-filled believer, people will recognize there's something very different about this person. They don't necessarily have to say a word. Why? Because they have a robe. It is a robe that is given from God. It is the covering of God. It is the new man in which they are covered. And so there is something very different and very unique about the person who is trusting in the character of God. And he starts to experience that sonship. He enters into the newness of life. You see, the promises were given for the sons of God. The world does not have a promise. The world is condemned already. But that is all that God says about the world in that respect. But the promises are given to the sons of God. So only when I start to trust the character of God will I be able to learn to trust the promises of God for my life. Because only then will I know that God's character will provide me with the things that He has said. How do I trust that He is faithful? I trust His faithfulness. How do I trust that He will never leave me nor forsake me? I trust that He loves me. How do I trust that even if I fail, I can come to Him and expect something from Him, expect a reward? How do I trust that? I trust that He is kind. How do I come to Him in the midst of a failure? Because I trust that He is patient with me, and that I am not appointed unto His wrath, but unto His mercy. And so I trust the nature and the character of God, and I start to understand and experience what it means to be the Son of God. Hey, did you know you are the Son of God? You are, whether you realize it or not. If you are born again, you are the Son of God. And so start trusting His character, and you start to experience what it means to be that Son of God. When I trust God's character, I will have no problem trusting His promises. And a life of the believer is a life of promises. This is what we believers live by. We live by promises of God, right? We go from faith to faith. Faith in what? Faith in the promises of God, because we trust the character of God. If I don't know the character of God, it will be extremely difficult, perhaps even impossible, for me to trust the promises of God. Oh, I may believe them, but I won't believe that they're coming my way. I won't expect them. Believing is a far cry from expecting. Right? The devils believe, but they have no expectation from God. We believe, and we may have or may not have an expectation from God. But if we believe and we trust, then we have hope. You see, there are two things. There is faith and there is hope. Thank God that all I need is faith. Why? Because faith is simply saying, I know God is able. Right? He said to the blind man, do you believe that I am able to do this? And he said, yes, Lord, I believe. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. He didn't ask him, do you know that I'm going to do this? Or do you think that I want? That was not the question. The question is, do you believe that I'm able? And he believed in God's ability because he had no capacity for hope. But God wasn't looking for a capacity for hope. That would come later if he believed that God was able. So as a believer, I believe that God is able, I draw near to Him, and then after drawing near to Him and getting to learn of His character, I start to have hope, because now I know that not only is He able, but He is willing, because He loved me and gave Himself for me. And if I know that He loves me and that He gave Himself for me, then I know that every promise of God is yea and amen, and I start to learn what it means to be the Son of God. My sonship is something I enter into through trusting the character of my Savior. I will have it regardless in my position. But position without experience doesn't do me a whole lot of good on earth. It does me a whole lot of good in heaven. But not that much good on earth. I'd like to have both. I'd like to have it good now, and I'd like to have it good later. God is the only one who says to you, you can have your cake and eat it too. You can have it good now and you can have it good later. You just can't have the world. You just can't have natural reasoning. You just can't have natural provision. What do you need? You need to trust Him. If I trust God, then I enter into that experience of the sonship of God. If I trust God, that's where I get my ring. You see, the prodigal trusted the father that he would not reject him. Now, he didn't fully know the character of God yet, but he knew the character of God to know that at least he would not reject him. And if that's all I know, then that is enough. I can still come to him and he'll teach me the rest. I come to him on the basis of the trust that I have. I trust Him, I believe, and I have an expectation from Him on the basis of the trust that I have. How many believers know that God is able to do all things? But how many believers trust that God will answer their prayers? How many believers know that God is able to do all things? But how many believers trust that He will perfect that which concerns them? How many believers know God is able to do all things, but how many believers trust that every promise of God is yea and amen for them? They don't trust. But then again, it starts with faith. So I'm not saying they're lost or hopeless in that regard in any way. I'm just saying they're at the beginning. So I trust God. And the measure to which I trust Him is the measure to which I will have an expectation from Him. And the prodigal had an expectation that his father would not reject him, that he would at least take him back as a hired servant, but he did not fully know the character of his father. He didn't take him back as a hired servant, he took him back as his son. I enter into the ring experience, and the ring is talking about the authority of God. It's a signet ring. I enter into the ring experience by trusting God. God gave the promise. For example, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins. That is a promise from God. If I failed and I say, God, I have failed, that's all He's looking for. He's not looking for a laundry list. I said, God, I have failed. Then He will completely restore me to full authority and full place as the Son of God. I have every right to be there in the throne room. I have every right still to be there, seated above in heavenly places in Christ in the right hand of God. I have every right to go to the mercy seat, plant myself down and say, God, I have an expectation from You. This is my petition. I have every right to be there. Why? I'm a son. But the problem is, if I don't trust His character, then I won't go there. Not that He wouldn't accept me, but I won't take the step. But we are the sons of God. And once we start trusting in the character of God, we start to understand and experience being the sons of God. That's where it comes from, being the sons of God. Realize something. It's His work, not ours. It's His finished work, not ours. It's toward us, but it's His. In John 15:16, You have not chosen Me, I've chosen You. I didn't even have the ability to choose Him. I simply believed Him. I trusted Him. And I know now that He has chosen me because I believe Him and I ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask of the Father in My name, He may give it to you. When I start to trust His character, I start to experience fruit. And I start to practically manifest My sonship. You see, it's not just enough for me to experience the sonship. If I want the fullness of the new life, or the newness of life, I need to manifest it, but I can't produce it. It's produced in me. So the manifestation of God's life is produced in me because I trust God. I trust His character. And when I trust His character, His life becomes manifested in me. It's that simple. It's nothing that I can do. It's something that He does in me. I draw near, and He transforms me. I draw near and He produces fruit. I say, God, the soil is available, and He plants in it. That's how it works. And so when I simply respond to Him because I trust Him, I start to experience, one, what it means to be the Son of God, but I also start to manifest what it means to be the Son of God. And then in John 1:16, of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. I like the way that the Amplified puts it. For out of His fullness, abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and were all supplied with one grace after another. And spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. And even favor upon favor.
and gift heaped upon gift. This is what we have with God when we start to trust Him. We experience His fullness, we get a measure of grace, we grow, and we get a new measure of grace. We get a measure of mercy, we enter into it, and we get a new measure of mercy. In other words, we trust God and we learn how to walk in His government. And not out of what we should do or not do, but out of a life that is produced in me, through Him, by His Word, through grace, by its authority, taking over my heart and producing His character in me. And now I have what He is. I have His life. Because I've trusted His character. And now I know what it means to be the Son of God. What is a son? It's the one who has life from a father. That is the son. The father gives the son his life. We as the sons of God, by trusting His character, receive our life from Him. And we walk and live and practically experience then what it is to be His son. With all the fullness of its authority and sandals for my feet, He covers my walk with God on earth. I don't touch the dirt. My life is covered. I don't touch the beggarly element. My life is covered. I'm a son of God. I don't touch the worldly things. My life is covered. I'm a son of God. I may be on earth, but I don't touch the earth. My life is covered. I'm a son of God. You see, all these things are ours. Whatever the Father has is ours. You wonder where your provision is going to come from? Why are you wondering where your provision is coming from? Whatever the Father has is yours. Can you imagine if you were like the child of Warren Buffett and you wondered, okay, where's my provision going to come from? Well, duh. Where do you think your provision is going to come from? You're the child of Warren Buffett. You're short on cash. Where do you think your provision is going to come from? You've got an inheritance from Warren Buffett. If you don't know who Warren Buffett is, he's like the second richest person in the world. Maybe the first, I don't know. Depends how the stock market's doing. I mean, this guy is unbelievably wealthy. So how many of us are worried about our provisions when we are the sons of God? Do you think Warren Buffett's kid is worried about his provisions? Why are we worried about ours? God is richer than Warren Buffett. He loves us more than Warren Buffett loves his kids. Why? He is God. You see, here's the thing. We have complete security, not just in our call, certainly in our call, not just in His promises, certainly in His promises, but also in every minute detail of our lives. We have complete assurance and security. Why? We are the sons of God, and the way that we actually get to experience it is by trusting His character towards us. Amen? Yeah?